Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Tonight, all the weather in the area. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
And hi, everybody. It seems that Blog Talk Radio is dropping us in and out. And I don't know what's going on. So anyway, hope everybody is having a good night. Looks like we're having some sporty times here. So let's see. Robin is back. Are you with us, darling?
Yep, I'm here. How are you?
That was interesting. BTR just cleared the switchboard on us. And so, well, fun times. Anyway, so welcome, everybody, to the Power Hours. And this is Reverend Terry Power coming to you tonight live from New York City, or Queens, actually. So, interesting times. And I understand the weather has been a bit sporty over there at home with you, love. Are you still with us? It is definitely going to be one of those nights. So while we wait for Robin's stuff going on with the phones over there, it has been rain and hail and thunderstorms over at home. So everyone just bear with us for a minute. I did want to take a moment. Those of you that know me very well know that I'm from Tennessee and an alumnus of the University of Tennessee. And just received news a few minutes ago that Pat Summitt, the head coach of the Lady Vols for like 20-odd years, winning as coach in NCAA basketball, passed today. So you know, wishing the best for her family. She had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's a few years ago, and so there was a kind of a steady decline. But I do want to, you know, ask that anyone send prayers and energy to her family, and you know, all of us that were touched by her. So, anyway, Robin, are you back?
Yeah, I am. The weather here is really hairy today. I'm looking out the living room window, and the clouds outside are black as night.
Yeah,
we had hail three times today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was talking about when while we waited for you, that there'd been hail and thunderstorms. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, we were going to talk about water tonight, and water wanted to be part of the show, I guess.
Apparently, yeah.
So, tonight we are talking about water. And it's an interesting element. You know, it's classically attributed to the West and to sunset time of day. And I guess to the fall of the year or the autumn of the year. But we're not going to talk so much about those sorts of correspondences as we are the element itself.
Mm-hmm.
An element in water and what water as an element means to us, how we can connect with it, how we can use water in magic. So if you would, just go ahead and get started with your thoughts on water as an element.
Well, for me, water has always been a refuge. I find water very comforting. And when I'm really stressed out, the thing I really want to do is take a hot bath. There's nothing more regenerative for me than a nice hot bath. Being immersed in water, floating in a pool, even just washing your face and hands, and you know, in a bathroom when you're stressed out. For me, that connection with water has always been very deep. Love the ocean, you know, any body of water. I've always been drawn in that way to water, and it's funny because I actually work with water for a living and have for about the last 10 years. Everything from water testing to water analysis. And now I work for a water utility. So water is very present and prevalent in my life. The elemental aspect of water for me really is about strength and power through gentleness. Water in and of itself is very soft and pliable and not hard. It's not sharp. But it can literally carve out, you know, the Grand Canyon over time. It can erode mountains. It can change the landscape. And too much water can be catastrophic, as well as not enough.
Ask West Virginia. Yeah. Ask West Virginia. They're dealing with too much water right now.
Yeah, yeah, and if you don't have enough water, you know, also it can be catastrophic. So balance is another thing for me that the water elemental speaks to me about. Knowing moderation, when is enough enough, when is too little too little. You need to find that happy medium of just enough. Too much water, too much rain can ruin the garden, and again, not enough. Dry it up. So it's really about walking in hand in hand in with nature and trying to strike a balance and a bargain with the element of water. And as far as the elemental being of water, you meet that every time you enter water. Every time you let water touch your skin, you're interacting. How you choose to interact and how you choose to make that work for you. That's up to you. I find, for me, the elements of water and fire, funny, they're a dichotomy, but water and fire have always been the closest to me and the ones that I connect with the most easily. And maybe it is because they are opposites, and it's about finding balance with both of those elements and being able to live with just enough. Too much fire is not a good thing, but not enough heat is also a bad thing. So the water elemental, and when I turn and circle and I call the element of water, I am calling for that, for the water's strength and focus and nurturing. And after all, we are made up of 97% water. So if there's one of the elements that we should feel closest to in many ways, it is water, because it physically makes up 97% of our bodies, or probably closer to 90, but somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Let's be conservative and say 90%. It makes up 90% of our body. We are made
of water. No, the point
water.
Is well made.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the percentage, the point is well made. We are mostly
mm-hmm.
water. But for myself, I tend to agree with the biggest bulk of what you said. This is one of those places that we do agree very closely, and our practices were already well aligned. I have, as many people know, lived a great deal of my life in the southern U.S. and the Caribbean, and near water where I could be in the ocean fairly regularly. And the feeling of floating in the ocean, being surrounded by and supported by the mother, has
mm-hmm.
long been a source of comfort and spiritual sustenance for me.
Mm-hmm.
It is, for me, that feeling of just laying back and floating. Is such an amazing thing. And as for fire and water, those are the two elements I connect most closely with as well. I think that's because of where I am astrologically. Being Pisces, or Aries with the cusp of Pisces, I've got that water and fire influence astrologically anyway. So... for myself, I think that's where that comes from. And it was interesting that you mentioned balance, because I was, as I want to do, a little bit of research, see what other thoughts are out there about topics that we're going to discuss. And one of the places I was looking today actually mentions the balance of water in our life too much, and we become hypersensitive too much. We become depressive. We tend to be extreme on those, weeping, dependent. Take all the wonderful aspects of compassion and love and all of that, and too much, and we go to the extreme. Insecure. But if we come back and are underbalanced, we can become cold and aloof, emotionless in our very natures. And so that kind of recognizing the balance, when we're in balance with water, or have the water energies and influences balance, we're compassion, love, sensitive without being oversensitive, typically easygoing. That's the water energy in its best forms, in its balanced forms. And I just found it interesting that, I had seen that, and while you were talking, I went back and found that page to look at it again, about balancing that energy. Also, when I think about water, you know, I'm a science and science fiction geek, and everybody knows that by now. One of the things that makes this planet what it is and allows us to live on this third rock from the sun, as it were, is liquid water.
Mm-hmm.
We're in that Goldilocks zone, where if we're a little bit closer, the seas boil. We're a little bit further out, everything freezes. And
right.
Without liquid water, we cannot have life. And as science looks out into space, they're looking for planets that are in that Goldilocks zone,
mm-hmm.
around stars that are, you know, light years away, but the idea is that we are looking for liquid water. Liquid water is what clues scientists into the idea that there may be life there.
Mm-hmm.
Water is life. The tool of water is the cup or the cauldron, which symbolizes the vessel of life, the womb, the vessel in which all life is created. It is, at its truest nature, life. Life-giving. Life-beginning. Life-renewing. And that's comforting to think about the fact that we're on a planet that's just right to have all of that, and to have life, to have us, to have all of nature around us. All of it comes from water. So there is my thoughts on water.
Very interesting. And you're right. You know, it's, the placement of our planet really has to do with the water and how much water is available for us to use and live off, live with and from and out of, as it were. You know, we have some polar ice caps, and there's all this talk all the time about, are the polar ice caps going to melt if we get hotter? Is there, you know, or if the earth cools, there'll be more ice. And so, yeah, water is, it's a delicate balance that we walk every day with water. The other thing, and many people may not know this, and some probably do, but as I said, I work with water in my mundane workaday life.
Professional.
And, yeah, one of the things that is a mantra in the water profession is particularly in the wastewater arena, is dilution is the solution, which basically means is that when we treat water in a water treatment plant, they bring it to a specific guideline that the DEP and the EPA set that's allowable to water from that wastewater treatment plant. And if as long as they can meet that guideline, then they can release that water back into the environment, back into your rivers and your streams. And it happens every single day in every river in this country. So at some point, my fear is that we will have no clean water left to dilute the dirtier water. So essentially what's happening is the water keeps getting, you know, the semi-dirty, the somewhat cleaned water goes back out into the cleaner water, and it dilutes, so it's all less, you know, less dirty now, but it's in some ways more dirty, And then it goes through there, depending on the Earth's cycle of evaporation and rain, to clean that water out again. And part of the reason that this concerns me is that at some point, maybe not within my lifetime, but at some point, we're not going to have any water clean enough left to dilute the dirty water. And then what are we going to do? So mark my words, water will become more expensive at some point than oil. And it is already beginning to happen. Australia, if you live in Australia, they've been coming out of a 20-year drought. And even if you have a well on your property for your house in Australia, there is a meter on it, and you pay for the water that you take out of the ground, even though it's on your own property. That is going to be the future here in the United States. They are already talking about it in places like California, where they've been having a long drought as well. The state that I live in Pennsylvania, they have, about 3 years ago, they undertook a mission to map on GPS all the wells in the state, whether they're private wells on homeowners' property or public wells, and everything in between, any water source. So know that this is probably coming. And, you know, start thinking about water as a precious commodity. And when you go and you turn on that faucet, be grateful that you've got clean water coming out, because in some places very soon, and in more places, that's probably not going to be the case. Flint, Michigan is just the beginning. So honor water as a valuable, life-giving commodity, and don't waste it. Be frugal with it, and stop buying water in plastic bottles, because that's another that's another one of my pet peeves. So, but
like
anyway, I'll get off that topic.
Water.
Yeah, it's exactly. Most of the time, about 85 to 90% of all water you buy in bottles is just some other system's tap water that they have run through an extra filter, and they put it in a bottle, and they call it, you know, bottled water. There are maybe two or three real, from a spring source, water. So check the sources, and if you have any questions about it, call that phone number on the bottle and ask them where their water comes from. Call your local DEP or EPA and find out, where does this water come from? Because all these water companies have to do testing, and they have to tell the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Environmental Protection where that water comes from. It's all very closely monitored and tested. So, but just, I want people to understand the intrinsic value. We're here talking about how, you know, much we need that balance of water, and we are made up of water, and our planet sustains us because of water. And people waste it every single day. You'd think we would have more respect for that elemental that is so life-giving.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I'm done
so,
now.
No, I stirred you back up, so that's partially my fault. That balance of water, whether it's liquid water or it's the energy of water, we need to be more conscious about water and its influences. How does water affect each of us? What is our relationship with water?
Mm.
We both know people that are uncomfortable around water, not quite hydrophobic, but close.
Mm-hmm.
What is the spiritual aspect that is manifesting in that kind of hydrophobia? And where do we go with that sort of thing? We need to look at their feelings, their relationship with water, and reach out and connect, because we talk about being balanced or underbalanced, overwatered or underwatered in our spirituality, and what that does, as I was mentioning earlier. What about someone who hasn't developed that relationship with water? Where does the person go from there? What are your thoughts?
you know, as you're speaking, I'm thinking about somebody, about people in general who are uncomfortable with water, and I wonder if there isn't a tad or a seed of some sort of discomfiture with their own physical body, because, like I said, water makes up 90% of our body. Is there some sort of deep-seated rejection of one's own body, because, and that's why they feel so uncomfortable in water? Or is it strictly just a fear of, you know, say, drowning or whatever, you know, the cold clamminess on their body?
Of a past, you know, some past trauma or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not really sure where that comes from, and it would be interesting to, you know, maybe talk to people who feel that and see where it comes from. And you're right, we do know a couple people who are like that, and I know in that particular case, it does come from an experience of a bad experience in their past. A relative.
But how does that manifest if a person cannot connect with water and gain those water energies?
Uh-huh.
Does that person tend to be less expressive, less sensitive, less less watery? You know, I mean, all of the positive aspects of water, are those diminished in the person that's not able to connect or has not connected?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, I find it, you know, a little bit difficult to understand because I connect so easily with water. But on the flip side of that, I don't connect as easily with air, for example, as I do with water. That's probably the biggest challenge of all of the elementals for me is the element of air. And it's not for a lack of, you know, being able to communicate. Obviously, I talk for a living. I do a lot of, you know, workshops and presentations. But for some reason, the element of air just is not as natural as fire and water and even earth for me. And it may be, like you said, maybe some astrological aspect to that. I don't know if Stephen Repko is going to be here on Saturday, so maybe we'll ask him. He's an astrology guy. He's really excellent at that.
Okay. Well, I know for myself, it does, you know, Pisces and Aries, that matches up. So we'll find out about your astrology and see how that lines up with this theory.
Oh, well, I'm a Leo, so there's your fire.
I was going to say, you are a fire sign,
mm-hmm.
which makes our lives interesting, having two fire signs in the house. It's
yeah, but we get on very well.
Yeah, we do. Our fieriness tends to complement rather than clash,
mm-hmm.
Which is good, you know. It certainly motivates us to projects together that
mm-hmm.
we can accomplish that we could never either one accomplish alone.
Yeah.
So there's certain manifestations in that regard. All right, well, we're at the bottom of the hour, so let's go ahead and take a break. And we come back and talk about ways to connect with water and possibly ways to use the water energies in our magical practice. So during the break, we're going to listen to Lori Lynn, a song called Goddess of Wisdom, and she's going to be our guest in about 2 weeks, I think it is, here on a Thursday night. So I think it'll be 2 weeks from Thursday. She'll be hanging out with us under the shady tree. So let's go ahead and hear Goddess of Wisdom by Lori Lynn, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Okay.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more. All available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio. So go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
Listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. Glad that you made it through the break. And that you are back with us. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours. And I am joined, of course, by my lady, my love, my partner, my wonderful woman, best friend. I cannot find enough wonderful, amazing ways to refer to my lady, Robin. Her darling.
Oh, I love you too. Hi, honey.
Jay. Hi. As long as we're talking about water and love and sensitivity and stuff, I figured I'd express a little bit of my love. So before the break, we were talking about the element of water. We were talking about water as a physical substance here on this planet. And we talked just a little bit about balancing water in our lives. And the effects of balance or underbalance, overbalance, whatever. And so now let's talk about how to bring water into our lives and develop a relationship with elemental water.
Well, if you have not already done this, something that, you know, every first degree in our tradition has to be able to do is to connect and create a relationship, a unique relationship with each elemental. And so you need to find a way to connect to water. Whether you're somebody who's really comfortable just jumping right in and swimming around and floating and letting the water speak to you, somebody who's very tentative and wants to start out with just dipping their finger in or their toe, the proverbial toe in the water, you've got to reach out and make that connection. I personally think one of the best ways is to just experience water. Go to a lake or an ocean or wherever, your bathtub.
Stand out in the rain.
Even. Yeah, and just
stand
sit
out
in the water. Or, yeah, you can stand out in the rain or sit out in the rain. Connect with water. Dance in the rain. There you go. Preferably naked. No, I'm just kidding. But go out and experience water in whatever form. You know, if you're not the kind of person who can get themselves to go out and dance naked in the rain, then, you know, run your hands underwater and think about how you're experiencing that water flowing over your skin. How does it feel? What kind of emotions come up around the water when you touch it? And when you finally get to a point where you can immerse your body totally in the water, just float there and see how it feels. How does the water speak to you? Does it make you feel a particular emotion? Let it, and this is a kind of a pun, but let the emotion wash over you. And you know, obviously there's a good reason why we have that as an expression, letting something wash over you. Usually it's, you know, soothing or cleansing in some way. And so, you know, we use a lot of water euphemisms to describe our emotions. And so we need to learn to connect with our emotions if we're going to experience water truly.
Absolutely. And another thing that we talked to our first degree students, mm-hmm. We talked to them about creating an altar.
Mm-hmm.
And if, as Robin said, you're not someone that's comfortable, you know, dancing in the rain or going for a swim, shower might be an answer for you. Take a shower, let the water run across your body, experience water. But mm-hmm. also find some way to express water on your altar, to represent mm-hmm. water on your altar. Spend mm-hmm. time contemplating water. And, you know, I'm always the one that will talk about having a, you know, a meditative experience with whatever. That's my way of expressing so much. And, you know, with the guided meditations we do on the rituals on the air and, you know, guided meditations I have done for years, I think that any time that we can meditate, particularly if we can bring ourselves to interact with the elemental spirit of, you know, the spirit of the element, elemental water, meditate on connecting with, developing a relationship, you know, anthropomorphize water and the spirit of water and sit and have a conversation with water.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are ways to connect with that energy in a way for people that may not be, you know, completely content with the physical water, and also for those that are. You know, those practices are certainly valuable with any of the elementals. The sitting and having a meditative conversation with the elemental. And then experience the physical water as well. And if you're comfortable with a bath, get some bath salts, a nice essential oil that is good for being on the skin. Be careful with what oils you use, because some of them are, you know, a little harsh on the skin undiluted. But any kind of herbal bath that will help you to connect with physical water. And they can be just, you know, healing and relaxing and refreshing all by themselves. So
yeah.
Those are some of my thoughts on connecting with, to go along with what Robin was saying.
Yeah, just the fact that the water is part of our molecular structure, and actually part of the molecular structure of every living thing on this planet, just like carbon is. It not only connects us to water, it connects us to each other. And there's, you know, this conversation, of course, I keep coming back to things from the book, and I specify here the books, the Dune books written by Frank Herbert, about the precious commodity of water, and when somebody in their tribe dies, the tribe gets the water from their body, and, you know, as a way of a give back to your community, and it's a precious gift, and they honor it, the water that was in your body. And it becomes part of the collective water of the tribe, and I've always found that to be kind of a very powerful expression of how connected we all are by the water of our bodies, by that molecular structure common to every living thing on the planet. I mean, trees have earth in them. Every blade of grass have water in them. Every blade of grass has water in it, and every ant needs water, all the way up to us. I mean, everything along the food chain in common. The one common thing that we each of us have in our bodies is water. So it is truly the connecting, part of that connecting energy, that connective chi of all living things. It shouldn't be hard to connect to. If you really find it that hard, then you need to clear your mind and just sit down with a bowl of water and talk to it. Stick your fingers in it. Rub it on your face. Do whatever it takes to get comfortable and feel one and feel a part and feel like you're communicating with that part of you and that part of the water, that divine spark. And if there's anything that really identifies the divine spark, it is water. Every living thing on this planet depends on having water.
Yeah. And I did a little research during the break, and it is about 60 to 65% water, the human body.
Okay.
Slightly lower percentage than I anticipated, but still a significant proportion,
mm-hmm.
Percentage of our body is made up of just water.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Dune. I was thinking about when you were talking about how precious water is and how it could be, such a rare commodity. My mind, of course, went to Ice Pirates. So,
mm-hmm.
Now the movie was kind of camp, but the idea is the same.
Yeah.
If we screw up the water on this planet, what are we going to do? We're going to go through comets and asteroids and try to find water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and since comets are made up mostly of ice, there's, a source for water. In fact, some people think that's the source of water on this planet. It's all extraterrestrial. that we, in fact, are the aliens. All life on this planet came from somewhere else. So, but anyway, I digress. I went, you know, you went to serious science fiction. I went to camp, I guess. You know, campy science fiction. But anyway, they're all an interesting tale. And the value of water in certain parts of this planet, after which some of Dune was more or less patterned. One of Paul's dreams when he's still on Caladan is a dream of people worshiping water.
Yeah.
Now, that was a misinterpretation of dream symbolism, and later it was learned that it was a reverence, not so much worship, but a reverence for the physical water itself. But nonetheless, the idea of that reverence, that consciousness about the commodity, is something that we do need to keep in mind. And using magic, using water in magic, and we're about 10 minutes away from the top of the hour, so we need to wrap this up. But I've already mentioned a bath. Well, a bath, depending on what oils and herbs you use, can be everything from simply refreshing to healing. The healing ritual that we do on some of the full moons, we submerge ourselves in a ritual healing bath at the temple on the hill. Well, that's not far from a healing bath in our own bathtub. Certainly water is the element of healing, of regeneration, of rebirth itself. So in some ways it is therefore the element of initiation because of death and rebirth experiences in any good initiatory experience. We have a death and rebirth. Rebirth comes through water. So all of that needs to be considered. And the last thing I wanted to mention is, and this kind of ties in with the series we've been doing on the tarot, but water is also the element of divination and intuition. Spirituality itself in the waterway stems from water. So, we've been talking about it from compassion and love and forgiveness and all those sorts of places. But intuition and in some ways magic itself is born of water. So those are some topics for you to think through as you connect with water and look at using water in your magical practice and just bringing it into your lives. My lady, did you have any final words on water?
I think, just in our day-to-day to be grateful for the water that we have available that is so clean and potable and readily available, because not everybody in the world has that. As a matter of fact, there are more places in the world that do not have fresh, clean, potable water than there are places that do. We're very spoiled in this country. So be very thankful and honor that. Honor the fact that that commodity, that water, makes up your body, makes life possible. And if you can be mindful and respectful and grateful for that, I think you'll do, that's a really good way to start your connection with this all-important element and move forward on your path into a place of balance and be feeling nurtured and protected and healthy with your relationship with the element of water, which is what you need to have, we all need to have.
Okay. All right. Thank you for final thoughts. How does someone get in touch with us?
Well, they can find us on Facebook, that's for sure. the Little Stone Bridge Pathworking's Facebook page, which is where you can contact Terry and I if you're interested in workshops or teaching or, you know, people sometimes send us requests to be students. We do all of that. We also do counseling, and I am also an holistic health coach. So feel free to contact us at Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings if you have any questions about any of that aspect. You can also find us on our personal Facebook pages. Mine is Robin A. McKean, which will probably be changing here real soon, and also Reverend Terry Power, HP. Other than that, you can get in touch with Terry there. You can also get in touch with us on the Facebook page for the radio station, as I think there is one. Isn't there?
Yes. Yeah, you're getting very broken. The connection is fading out again over there. The email address for reaching us, the shared email address that we both check is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And you can also find that the Facebook page for the radio station is Spiritual Unity Radio Network. In all of those cases, as well as the Rev. Terry Power HP Facebook page, when you get there, click like and let us know that you're there, and you can keep up with news of our travels, some announcements about radio shows. This weekend, of course, is our big personal event. We have been hand-fasted for the year, and we are now doing the legal paperwork to become a husband and wife. And that was the comment she was making about the Facebook page changing. Let's see, in July, we just got a bunch of stuff around the mountain. August, a couple of things that are still in the works. If you do want us to come speak at your event, you need to get to us pretty quick because we've got two different things in August that we're trying to finalize. September, Labor Day weekend, we will be at Labor Day Libertine. And then the first weekend of November, we will be at the Salon event for the Florida Pagan Gathering. So, quite a bit going on in there, and I think we've got a couple of other weekends here and there that are being finalized. Thursday night coming up, we'll be talking with Heather Killen of the she's the coordinator of my brain is completely fried tonight. the Earth Warrior Festival. I don't know where my brain is. She's the coordinator for the Earth Warrior Festival that's coming up, and she will be talking with us about that. She's also got a shop called Violet Flames, and so she'll be on Thursday night. Next week, a week from tonight, we will be talking about the Moon card. In the tarot, interesting timing with that following right up after water. And on July 7th, we'll be talking with Brian Hinkey, and he's been on tour since Calvera Fest, and we'll be getting an update from him and some of his goings-on. And then 2 weeks from tonight, we will be talking about elemental earth and finishing up with the elementals. Before we go into the full moon ritual on the 19th, and then we'll be picking up with some additional topics after that. So, with all of that said, it is exciting to be here with you guys, and we love what we do, and we love you guys. We wouldn't be doing this without you. So please continue to listen, continue to tell your friends how to find us, and keep spreading the word and just being a part of this family. I guess that's it. I could get all emotional and stuff with water going on, but I think that's about it. Anything else, my love?
I think that's it.
Okay, so just final thoughts from me about water. Remember that it is the source of all life, and it is not by accident that the symbol of water in our magical practice is the cup or the cauldron, the very womb from which we all come. Contemplate that as you think about water and seek to connect, and I think you'll find something interesting there. And with that, I believe it is time to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.